Turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of John. The fourth chapter of John. If you are from El Dorado, you probably heard this message already. I'm not going to excuse you, though. You're going to sit through it again. The fourth chapter of John. The fourth chapter of John, verse 5. The fourth chapter of John and verse 5. Listen, I know that there's many of you today and tonight that are sitting out there and you're wondering, and you probably have even recently said the words possibly, is this really all that there is for me? Is this really all that God's power is for me? Is this really what life is about for me? Did God have me born here so that I could simply live a meager, uneventful existence to where I could work, I could live, retire, or then be put out to pasture and just die? I want you to know something. That is not God's will for your life. That is not God's best for your life. But I want you to know the devil's a liar. The world has bought his lies, and I can assure you tonight that there are some of us that have been bewitched into believing these lies. There are some of us that actually believe, and I have been one of them, I can promise you, we actually believe that this is all that there is. This is the best that there is. That my job is to work as long as I can physically work, do all that I can, and then simply stop, hopefully enjoy some years of life that I have left, and then proctors come and get me. But I want you to know it's a lie. Tonight, the word of the Lord to this church is, I have always wanted better for you. I've always wanted better for you. I have always wanted more for you than this. I have always wanted better for you. I have always desired more for you than what you have. You are living beneath your privilege as a child of Almighty God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray and I believe tonight, Lord, that your word will quicken our hearts, will quicken our minds, that, Lord, through the weariness and the tiredness of the day and all the things that we think why we should just sit here and just sit here, Lord, I pray and I believe that tonight that we make the decision to press through all that mess, to press through just ritual and just regular things, and tonight to hear your word and your call to us, your call first and foremost to salvation for those of us who may not have you yet as Lord, and secondly, for abundant life for every single person in this building under the sound of my voice. We thank you for your word, that it's powerful and it's mighty. It will not return void. And tonight, you have a word for us. In Jesus' name. Do you believe it? Amen. Say amen. John chapter 4 and verse 5. I'm reading out of the NLT. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Now, soon a Samaritan. Say a Samaritan. Samaritan. No, say it like you're awake. A Samaritan. All right, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone because all the disciples had went into town to get some food and water. Verse 9. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. This is true. This is reality of that era. Samaritans were referred to by some Jews as dogs. There was clear prejudice, clear racism in that day. There were different classes, and the Jews were the church folk of the day. They were the holy rollers. And the Samaritans were the smoke, dip, and chew people. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever met us church people? We don't smoke, dip, or chew around with them to do. That's us. Well, these people did. These were the Samaritans. So she was shocked, first and foremost, that a Jew's even talking to her, church folks even talking to her to begin with. So she said to Jesus, "Wait a minute, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman." A woman at that. Women were not honored and privileged like they are today. "And you're asking me for a drink." Jesus replied, in verse 10, Jesus said, if you only knew the gift that God has for you, say you. If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are talking to, who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Say living water. Jesus is telling her, this is the folks, these are the lost folks, these are the non-church folks, or these are the church folks who are lost. These are the church folks who sit in here week after week doing the same thing, coming in here and we do our things and we do our up and our down and we do this and we do that and we leave and we're the exact same people 10 years from today. He's talking to us, and he's saying, if you would just ask me, if you would just talk to me, if you would move beyond just your perfunctory ritual that you do, I give you living water. I desire to give you something more. He's talking to someone in this story right here that the church would have hardly anything to do with. Not this church, but plenty others. He's using that as an example to show, look, I want to give you something more. I want better for you. If you only knew and if you only realized what Jesus was offering you today. Jesus is standing at the door of your life, whether you are in Him, whether you have Christ in your heart yet or not. And He is declaring that He desires to invade your life with His goodness, with His mercy, with His love, with His acceptance, with His power. He wants to give you the future that He died to obtain. He desires to give you joy, peace, happiness, gladness, and yes, His promised provision. But most of the time, life. Most of the time, life has taken our joy and our peace, and thereby our future. I want you to know you will never meet a man or a woman alive that if they don't have joy or peace, they don't have a future. There's not a one alive. Oh, they may be alive. You may be alive, for example. And if you don't have any joy and peace, let me ask you a question. How alive are you really? I mean, has anybody here ever just got up and just went to work and then just did your thing all day and you're sitting there and you're miserable? You just left church on a Wednesday night and get up on a Thursday morning and you think, God, I ask you again, is this really it? Have you ever done that? God's answering you right now. And He's telling you, no, it's not. There is more. You're on to something. We go to work separated from our family and we struggle under the weight of provision and trying to toil, trying to make a living. And we struggle under the weight of the American car payment and the mortgages and just trying to keep everybody happy and keep everybody the newest and latest and greatest. And we do all of this and we're still asking ourselves, even when we're rich, even when we're not rich, even when we have the Cadillac or we don't have the Cadillac, we're still asking the questions, is this really it? I mean, is this really enough? And you know it isn't. I know it isn't. I'm going to tell you something. I have enjoyed financial success that God has blessed me with. And I'm not saying I'm trying to brag. I'm trying to tell you that I am in a place that a lot of people wish they were financially. And I'm going to tell you from the other side of the fence that most people are spending their entire life trying to grasp and trying to get something and trying to work and trying to get ahead. I'm on the other side of that fence. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of the most richest people I know are some of the most miserable people I've ever met. There's nothing wrong with being rich. I have no aversion to it whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you something. It's still not enough. Even with all the entertainment and all the things that you're doing and all the things trying to keep yourself busy, trying to keep the kids busy, and we do all this movement. The reason why half of us do that, if not maybe 75% of us do that, including the church, is because if we stop long enough, we sit down and we start thinking, we hear something. We hear this little homing device, and it says, hey, you got the car, you got the job, you got the house you wanted, you believed for, you got the baby you were believing for, you got the healing you were believing for. It's kind of weird, though. Here we are 6 months later. You're really no different than you were 6 months ago, because there's more, because there's more. I want you to know today, as God's ambassador, I came to tell you that there is more. God declares over you today, just like the Samaritan woman, if you'll ask me, if you'll believe me, if you'll seek me, I will give you living water. I'll give you something that the world cannot give you. You see, what I've been describing to you, what most people call life, it really isn't life at all. It's existence. You're sucking air. You're paying the IRS. But you're really not living. Not abundant life. We have lost as believers. The Lord is crying out to us tonight. I just informed you minutes ago that you're not going to hell if you have Christ. I just informed you of that. And do you know the typical response? Well, isn't that dandy? Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Mark. We got to be done by 7:30 because I got to get over there. I got to beat the Baptist at El Mariachi. Come on, Mark. Come on, Mark. And you wonder why there's not more. We've lost the magic. We've lost the wonder. We've lost the awe of God's great love for us. We've lost what the gospel really means. We've lost it in all this other stuff. You've traded the power of the gospel in for a lie that at best your job is, yes, to live, to provide, and to die. So often hell hides behind this curtain. Hell hides behind a curtain that's called life. It's a sinister label. It's a lying label. It's a false label. But it's what everybody believes. It's just life. You see, whenever there's this thing called life, let me tell you how it works. If you don't hear nothing else, hear this. Just pay attention just for a second. If you don't hear nothing, hear this. Most of us, when something happens in our life, or when we get out that payment book that is thicker than the U.S. Constitution and all the federal laws on that mortgage, when we get that car payment, when we stand in the line at the grocery store and we're miserable, most of us are standing there thinking, well, you know, it's just kind of life. I mean, this is just all kind of normal stuff. And somebody always, I'm going to tell you something. Hell hides behind that. And somebody always comes along and looks at the contradiction of what's in your heart versus what you actually live like. Now, wait a minute. There is a contradiction in most of our hearts because you're called to be an ambassador for Christ. You're called to do something for God. You're called to live for God. You're called to accept Christ. You're called to be a business leader. You're called to be a governor. You're called to be a preacher. You're called to do something. And most of us know it. But here's our heart. Here's what I'm called to do, but here's what I am. And somebody always comes along and dances up and says, hey, don't worry about it, Mark. That's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it, son. It's just life. It's just life. Marriage is a horrible thing, but everybody needs it. Kids are just something that they're a blessing, but let's treat them like they're a terminal disease half the time. You're supposed to be broke and sick because everybody here is broke and sick. What makes you think you're going to be any better or any different? You're supposed to be miserable. You're supposed to work for a company and just till you're no longer useful, then them boot you out the way for the next young one to come in and take your spot. You're supposed to decline as you age and think it's funny to make jokes about it. You're supposed to die in a hole somewhere by yourself. Only the super duper preachers are the only people called to do anything for this kingdom, to do it for the Lord. Depression, grief, and sorrow, that they're just part of the deal for you. Sickness and disease, it's just part of the human condition, kid. Get over it. Suck it up. Sit down and shut up with everybody else. Come to church, pay your tithes, do the deal, and then go on out and be no different, have nothing any different than most lost people. I have been in ministry in a lot of different churches with a lot of different folks, and there are a lot of guys who will stand right here and tell you a lot of these things. It's a lie. It's a lie. The problem with all this mess is, I'm going to tell you something right now, and you ain't going to like it. The problem with most of this stuff is, though, that there are so many examples of people who completely contradict most of these statements. And I'm going to tell you another thing. There are tons of lost people who are sometimes greater, happier than most saved people. Oh, wait a minute. Did I just say that? Yes, I just said that. There are some lost people who are happier than saved people. Have you got behind, some of us in Walmart lines when the checker ain't moving quick enough? Yeah. Have you been standing at the customer service counter at Dillard's with some church person to get their way and act a fool? Yeah, you have. There are lost people who are happier than some saved people. And the reason why, and if you're lost tonight and you don't have Christ in your heart, you're not living for Him, the reason why that there's blessings in your life and there's goodness in your life is because of the Lord. It's because His goodness and His mercy endures forever. It's because He's calling out to you and He's saying, come to me. I am drawing you by my love and by my kindness. And yes, you, the saints, God is still calling out. He's crying out for those dead, those cold, those hardened areas of your life. And He's saying, on this Wednesday night, I am asking you, please give me your heart, every bit of it. Give me everything about you. Give me everything. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to make you more. I love you. I accept you. I know every dirty, rotten thing about you, and I still desire you. That is the gospel. And if you don't know Jesus and you don't have Him in your heart, and I mean He's not the Lord of your life, that is what He's telling you right now through me. I love you. I accept you. Who else do you know would die for you? Who else do you know would come for you? Know every dirty thing about you you ever thought nobody else knows. Hang on a cross being perfect and pure and holy. God of the universe. And me hang there for you. And you question if I love you. You question if I'll accept you. You question if I'll give you abundant life. I've always wanted more for you. I've always desired more for you than addiction. I've always desired more for you than debt you can't manage. I've always desired more for you to sit here in a hole and watching decline and degrading everything and seeing all this junk happen in your life. I've always wanted more for you than that mess. I defeated death, hell, and the grave. I am the world overcomer, and you're in me. Why are you sitting here and dying? Why are you sitting here without abundant life? It's not me, it's you. It's your mindset. It's what you believe. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. If you think your marriage is supposed to be a joke, guess what? Your marriage is a joke. If you think your kids are supposed to be crazy, guess what? Your kids are crazy. If you think you're supposed to get old and they put you in a hole by yourself and Proctor's is coming sooner than they should, guess what? Proctor's is coming a lot sooner than they should. Several weeks ago, I was on a conference call for work, and I'm hurrying. I was on a conference call for work, and as I was sitting there, I was talking, and I was talking several states away, and the guy I was talking to had me on speakerphone. And so a guy from Arkansas, say Arkansas, I'll make sure you're still awake, from Arkansas, a guy from Arkansas is on the phone with another guy, and this guy walks by, and he hears my voice. And so he walks by the office, and he stops. He says, "Hey, is that Mark Smith?" I'm sorry, I'm doing the Arkansas, my voice. So he comes, he says, "Hey, is that Mark Smith?" And I was sitting back there. I said, "Yeah, it is." And he said, "Hey, this is so-and-so who is from Arkansas, has a home, has a family, doesn't live in Arkansas, but, you know, he's there, I'm here." And he said, He said, "What are you doing in Arkansas? Can't nobody make no money in Arkansas." Amen, sister. He said, "What are you doing in Arkansas? Can't nobody make no money in Arkansas?" And I'm sitting there and I said, don't wake me up, kid. Don't tell my checking account, kid, because I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't that many weeks ago that this halfway undereducated, unqualified Camdenite, this Arkansan, I was offered hundreds of thousands. I'm not talking about I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to work right here. Do not tell me what you can be, what you cannot be, what you can have, and what you cannot have. And don't be clapping because this money, be clapping, because what that means is that what is it in your life that you're told you can't be this? God can't do this with you. You answer the question, what is it for you? Because for me, it was always, well, it's just broke, it's Camden, you know, it's a dump and nobody likes it and blah, 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 blah. All the time I thought, well, not me. The rest of y'all go out broke and sick and miserable and in poverty, but not me. Or am I being too honest? Your problem is you've been lied to all your life by other people, and many of them are in the church. And you believe them. They taught it, and you bought it. They were broke and sick and miserable, busted and disgusted. And they talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. They did not have a display of God's goodness and His power and kindness and mercy. So they don't think anyone else can rise above that either. But let's look at what the Word of God says about what life. You want to talk about life? Let's see what life actually is. The 103rd Psalm declares, Now listen to the I's and the me's. And normally I can't stand self-centered stuff, but listen to this though. 103rd Psalm declares, if you have a Bible with you, actually open it. 103rd Psalm. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for who? For me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. If you believe it, say it. He fills my life with good things. He fills my life with good things. My youth, go ahead, praise God. My youth is renewed like the eagles. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, He forgives all my sins, heals my diseases, redeems me from death, crowns me with love and tender mercies, and He fills my life with good things. I have to talk and preach to myself. And you gotta do the same thing. When you're sitting around with everybody else and they're talking all that mess and they're over at the Cardinal talking all that death, decay, and destruction, and they're in the Sunday school class talking about all this junk, you have to sit there and say, look, maybe that's the way the rest of you are gonna go out, but I refuse to do it because He fills my life with good things. When hell comes into my life and says, you can't preach this gospel because you're from Camden and nobody's even heard of Camden, what I declare back in my mind, I say, not only will I preach this gospel, but I will preach this gospel on every continent. I'll preach to the north and the south of the equator. I'll preach to the west and the east of the prime meridian. You just hide and watch. You have to preach to yourself. You have to talk to yourself. Because most people don't believe any of this. And therefore they don't see it. Be it unto you according to what? Your faith. Let's go over another thing about what that's just life. John 10:10. Oh, thank you, God, that you loved us enough and you cared enough for us to put this in here, that it's mine, it's yours. John 10:10. It is the thief, it is Satan that comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I have come that you, say you, you, he's talking about you, that you may have life and life abundantly. He's not being a deadbeat dad. Not being a deadbeat father and saying, well, I gave you life and that's all you're going to get. No, he's saying, I want more for you. I'm not going to just give you life. I'm going to give you abundant life. I'm going to give you world overcoming power. I'm going to give you ideas. I'm going to give you inventions. I'm going to give you healings. I'm going to give you everything and more that you could ever need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what I want for you, this abundant life. He is declaring over your life tonight more than enough grace, more than enough power, more than enough joy and peace, more than enough patience, more than enough faith, more than enough provision, and more than enough happiness. Yes, church people, the Word of God says, happy are those people whose God is the Lord. Who in the name of anything sacred would want to be most church people? You talk about evangelism? Would you want to be saved if you met church folks that were baptized in pickle juice? Would you want miserable people to follow? Nobody ever has followed anything dead. We put it in the ground. We don't follow it. We put it in the ground. We call proctors. That's what we do with it. I want you to understand there's a destroyer, there's a devastator, there's a delayer, there's a deceiver, there's a discourager, there's a denier, there's a destiny killer. He has your kids, he has your family, he has your mind, he has your finances, he has your body, he has your destiny. Yes, that's true, but I want you to understand something. It's not Jesus. It is not Jesus. Even from the time of Genesis, Satan has always tried to convince church folks that God is a bad father, that he's cold, that he is indifferent to our suffering and to our pain. But I want you to know, he even convinced released those people out in the wilderness. They had just gotten out of slavery, out of darkness. Does that not sound familiar? When you're saved, you're brought out of slavery. You're brought out of darkness. You're brought out of destruction. And one of the first things those people said, one of the absolute first things the people said, He brought us out here to kill us. God brought us out here to kill us. And we all laugh and giggle. Don't we say the exact same thing? Just in different ways. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The truth is, God brought them out there to bring them to a land of milk and honey. He brought them out there to go stay at the Four Seasons. He brought them out there to live in houses they didn't build, to drink from wells they didn't dig, to have peace, safety, and security. What is being offered to you right now? They didn't believe it. And the vast majority of them died never seeing it. It's a warning for us. Satan is a killer that's hiding behind the curtain that nearly everyone, including the church, just call life. And all the while, Jesus is trying to get you to believe Him for more, to stir up the dreams, to stir up the desires, the destiny He placed inside of you. Satan is trying his best, though, and has plenty of help to push that calling, that dream, that desire, that world-changing destiny back down into your heart, back down into your kids' hearts. Because he knows if you ever believed it long enough to act on it, you'd change the world. And he knows it. He knows it. You're too big of a threat to not be controlled. You're too big of a threat not to be manipulated and lied all the way to the grave. You are. Amen. And tonight, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, He is doing the same thing to you to take you all the way past the grave into a devil's hell for all eternity. You don't have to go, beloved. Amen. You don't have to go. Amen. God declares tonight over you, I love and accept you, and I want more for you than that. He and his team, Satan and his team, will lie to you constantly, telling you you'll never amount to anything. God can't use somebody like you. You made too many mistakes. After all, we know the things you did that the church don't know you did. You'll die sick and broke just like everybody else in your family ever did. You'll never find somebody. You'll never be happy. You'll never have joy. It's too late. Just give up. Go sit on the back of the pew and just shut up and wait to die. But I want you to know tonight that Jesus, in this weary Wednesday night, Jesus is kicking in the door to your future, to your heart right now. And He's saying, that's a lie. It's a lie. You're free indeed. You're righteous in me. You're powerful in me. You're destined by me. You're called by me. You are loved. You are accepted. You are cared for. You are thought of by me. I want more for you than to sit here and just live your life and wait to die. Will you believe me? Even with the woman at the well, and I'm closing. Even with the woman at the well, we forgot about leaving her sitting back there, didn't we? I didn't. Even with the woman at the well, when Jesus offered her living water. Listen. She had to cooperate. She had to cooperate. Tonight, will you cooperate? I'm asking you a question. It's totally up to you. The Bible says that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. For the saved, for the lost, whoever, God is offering tonight a relationship with Him in two parts. The first part is that you may have never accepted the Lord. You may not actually know Him. Or you may know Him, but you've drifted away. You've gotten cold. You've gotten hard. You've gotten miserable. Tonight, God is wooing and He's calling you. And He's saying, dear child, I love you with an everlasting love. I don't care what anybody else ever says about you. I don't care what every religion says about you. I love and I accept you so much so I died to get you. I died to have you. Tonight, close your eyes and bow your head, please. with every head bowed and every eye closed, because this is between you and the Lord. If your heart stopped beating tonight, do you actually know where, I mean, like, for sure? I don't mean kind of like, well, I think I was in church and I've been, my good outweighs my bad. No. Church people and good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. People who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord go to heaven. Not good or gooder people. Not church members. Saved people. Tonight, if you can say, Mark, I really don't know for sure if I have the Lord. I don't know. I can't tell you, kid. But the one thing is I can tell you is that I want what you're talking about. I want to be restored to Him. I want to be in fellowship with Him. I want more than this mess. I want freedom. With every head bowed and every eye closed, because this is none of anybody's business. If that's you tonight, would you just slip your hand up real quick for me? Just showing that the Lord cares and that He loves it. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down now. Thank you, dear, sweet, kind people. The Lord loves you. He cares for you. He desires you. I know that there's, are there more? Is there somebody else that the Lord, He's calling, He's crying out to your heart. He's saying, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I know everything about you and I like you anyway. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. I see. Oh, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there's hands up all over this place tonight. Jesus is alive. And tonight, there are going to be some that accept Him for the first time ever. And there's going to be some tonight that are reunited in that desire. Honey, Jesus never went anywhere. You may have, but Jesus didn't. He's been here all along, knocking on the door of your heart, saying, please, please, let me back in. Come on. Tonight, I want to pray, and I want everybody in here, the people who are about to pray this first prayer, I want you to pray it, and I want us, the believers, to pray it. You pray it like you mean it. Don't pray it like you're half asleep and half dead. Pray it like you mean it, church folks. Come on. Would you pray with me? Would everybody pray with me? Lord Jesus, tonight I believe that You are Lord, that You came and You died for me. And tonight, I accept Your salvation. I accept Your forgiveness. I accept Your love. I accept Your healing. And I believe that You died for me and You rose again. Jesus, I love You. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's welcome these folks. Come on. Come on. Your love. Your love. Give us. Come on. Get up. Get on your feet. This matters. Get up on your feet. I know we're tired, but let's act like this matters. Welcome to the family, beloved. We love you. We're glad you're here. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. This matters to the Lord. It matters to us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, yes, Lord. While you're up on your feet, since I already got you up, the second part of this, and if you just respond to the first part, come on too. Because Jesus doesn't just want eternal life with Him. He wants abundant life for you. If you want this abundant life I'm talking about, I don't care if you've been here 45 years and you've been up here 27 times with me. I don't care. If you want this abundant life and you want more, and I don't mean some Holy Ghost goosebump or anything spooky. I'm talking about just clearly everyday abundant life, a decision, a declaration that I want more than this mess. If you want that, and you want a revived heart, a renewed heart, I want more than this life. If you will not let your pride and what other people think about seeing you come down here, because that sounds familiar because I've done the exact same thing myself. Come on. If you want it, come on. Hey, it's up to you. Let your pride keep you in the seat. That's fine. Or if you don't need it, that's fine too. I love you either way. Jesus loves you. You're fine either way. But I'm telling you, God wants more for you than this. He wants more for you than religion. He wants more for you than just church attendance. He wants more for you just being religious church folks. He declares tonight love and acceptance and empowerment in your life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that everybody standing here right now that you have a covenant that you have an agreement with Christ in place, we are going to pray. We're going to pray. There's so many of us. We don't have everybody. This is great. It's wonderful. Good problem to have. But we're going to pray. And we're going to pray united. And then as soon as we get done with this, our prayer ministers will be together. I'll be with them if they have me. And we're going to pray with you personally if you'd like that. But I love every single one of you. But it don't give a rip what I think about you anyway. What matters is Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He desires you. You thought you were just coming to a Wednesday night service to check it off the box. To come on here on Sunday that nobody talk bad about you because you missed Wednesday. I get it. But God loved you enough to throw you in here anyway and say, hey, beloved, I want more for you than this. I want more for your family. Would you bow your head? Would you take the hand of the person next to you first? We're going to have a little bit of old-fashioned unity. We're going to have a little bit of unity just for a second. Father, tonight, I fully believe in my heart that every man and woman who is standing here tonight loves you. They are called according to your purpose. They are destined by you to be leaders and not followers, to be movers and shakers, not just sitting down waiting somewhere to let life pass them by. Tonight, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in such a powerful way into our... You're already here, you're already in us, but I ask you to reveal to us the things that you want to reveal to us, to show us the destiny, to show us the calling for our family, to show us the healing that you want to do in our minds and in our bodies and our health and in our finances and in our careers and our businesses, Lord, in our relationship with you and our ministries. Lord, tonight we have stood and we have boldly declared we want that more abundant life that you have, that you want for every person standing here tonight. You fought all hell for us to have it. And we receive it by faith. But beloved, I want you to say this with me. Jesus, I take the abundant life. By faith. I receive it. I desire more. I draw close to you. And your word says that now you're drawing close to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for liking me. I'm called. I'm approved. I'm destined by you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And in your name we pray and believe. Amen. Let's give God a hand of praise.